Hi, everyone, and welcome to the special simulcast of the Neil Haley Show and Freedom from Addiction show here on the Total Media Network and also on Libsyn and Freedom from Addiction, wherever you can find it. And I'm excited to welcome to the program my co-host, Wynn Henderson, Reverend Wynn Henderson, MD. Wynn, how are you? And we have a really good guest today.
Yes, Neil, we do, and a really important topic because it seems like this is something that everybody is wanting to know the answer to. And the question is, why are people so mad about wearing masks? And my guest today from the East Coast in Rochester, New York, is Dr. Mike Merrill. He's been a pastor of a church in that town for over 40 years. He graduated magna cum laude with a Bachelor of Arts in Religion and Philosophy and a minor in Psychology. He also has a Master's of Divinity from Asbury Technical Seminary. And after 2 years as an associate, he and his growing family located in Hilton, New York, and
yes.
I guess that's close to Rochester, and they are still there. He earned a doctorate of ministry degree from Northern Seminary with his dissertation, The Five Basic Emotions, A New Systems Approach. And we're waiting on the West Coast guest, and if he makes it to the interview, I'll give you his introduction later. So let me tell you that it's a pleasure to have you listening to my show today. It's my sincerest desire for you to get something out of it that will make your life richer, fuller, and in this time of the coronavirus pandemic, safer. I'm Reverend Wynn Henderson. As an ordained Christian minister and a retired medical doctor, I have a dual perspective to bring you content to solve problems in your life. Freedom from Addiction and Share Your Mission is the longest running, single hosted and produced, spiritually based radio internet talk show in the country. It has been continuously running for the last 20 years. I introduce you to celebrities and non-celebrities alike who have something to say about the disease of addiction in its 30 plus different forms and about the importance of finding your mission or purpose in life, then acting on it. So, Mike Merrill from Rochester, New York. How you doing, Mike?
I am doing very well. It is great to be on your show. The simulcast is exciting for us.
Well, it's something that Neil and I have practiced a few times, but it's still something that's fairly new, and anything that's fairly new sometimes doesn't go exactly like you wanted it to go. But let's get on with the interview. You wrote a book called Why Do People Act That Way? And What Can I Do About It, right?
That is correct. The concept part is why do people act that way? And we explain the way in which people perceive reality and their part in that reality. And the what can I do about it is the skill side that goes with knowledge. And that is, now that I have some ideas or some training, how do I activate that in my life? The reality is, without having both knowledge and skills that are applicable, information just overload.
Okay.
Yeah.
For sure. So we got together because there was some communication about mask and coronavirus. Before you answer the question, why do people get so mad about wearing masks? Do you want to give us any background on masks themselves or not?
I think what's fascinating is that most of the contemporary response to wearing a mask or not wearing a mask is not information based. It's not about facts. It's not about what a mask does or does not do. It is an emotional response that is triggered by this issue. And what I find as people argue and present and advocate and defend is that more information, a set of facts, some certain ideas or perspectives on what a mask is supposed to do or not do is irrelevant to the controversy. It is the emotional loading that people have. I hate wearing masks. I hate being told what to do. I love wearing a mask. I think this is really exciting. And it all has to do with an emotional response to the issue rather than the facts of the issue. We're way past facts.
Well, do you think that if the people that are putting out the news could say, if you wear a mask, you're 69% less likely to come down with a disease, or a person that you're talking to is a certain percentage less likely to come down with a disease, that people would use those facts to make a decision about getting angry about wearing them or not wearing them?
It really has to do with how West Coast Mike and myself, we train a lot, we teach a lot, we work in all different venues of society in equipping people with both the understanding and the skills to deal with complex situations. The nature of the arguments, the person who is going to be convinced by facts has already been convinced by facts. That goes without saying. It is the vitriol, the argumentation, the pushback, the broken relationships that come not because masks are 69% more effective than not wearing a mask. The number is irrelevant. People say, well, I'll take my chances. 31%, that sounds pretty good to me. And on and on and on. That's an emotional reaction to the detail or the concept. Has nothing to do with the number. You could say 60%, 25%, 89%. Doesn't make any difference because people aren't dealing with a factual response to information, the cerebral part. Yeah. They're dealing with a heart or a gut response. That has nothing to do with the facts.
See, and that's interesting. And we do have our other guest on the line as well, Michael Wilson. Michael, thanks for stopping by as well. He just jumped in. What are your thoughts on the mask issue and where?
As much as I hate to say it, I agree with Mike that it really has nothing to do, very little to do with content or research or any of those kinds of things. And we're way beyond telling people all the reasons in the world. It's come down to a very emotional response to a dynamic in, I think, in our culture that we talk a lot about, particularly in motivations, on a continuum of being able to actually have dialogue and actually be able to think through things, where we find ourselves in a place where we're what we call in our complex of understanding is, it's become a culture. It's been a culture of, this is what I believe, this is what I'm going to do, and you're not going to move me from that. And then that comes from their emotional and their perceptions pushing through into that, where now we're going to fight for that. I mean, it's amazing to me to watch the dynamic of people, because I'm a sociologist, to see how that happens in so much of a, if you will, a herd mentality or tribal mentality that has developed a culture around this, that somehow I get my identity out of being a mask wearer or a non-mask wearer. And we're really struggling, I think, as a culture generally, to be able to have real dialogue. You listen to some of the podcasts and some of the people that are out there that, you know, that are having interesting guests on. And I work a lot with 20-something guys, and they're always sending me these different guys that they're listening to and, you know, get all excited about it. And it's great. And yet I listen to them and I think, you know, this isn't about context of information and data. This is about what I feel. And so I'm responding to that in a way that in our world of working with emotions, people have become what we would call hyper in the intensity of the emotional area they're working with. So maybe it's empowerment, which we would say is power-based. We would say exposure, which is fear-based. It could be any of those kinds of things that now is driving them to them. So they've developed a culture that says that's really inflexible. I'm set and I'm good with that. The question is, can we actually have real dialogue that moves us away from being emotional, but actually gets into true thinking through the issues in a very real way that brings logic back into it, that brings a sense of dignity into it, which we have seemed to have lost as a culture. So we struggle to have real conversations about these kinds of things.
Oh, okay. So I want to tell the people who you are. just jumped into the conversation. This is Mike Wilson, right? He lives in
That's correct.
Wenatchee, Washington.
Correct.
And he's a sociologist. He taught as an adjunct instructor at a college for 29 years. Directed regional and national youth programs.
No, that's Michael. That's Dr. Mike. I'm the guy that has worked in education for 20 years.
Oh, okay.
He's called the other guy.
Yeah, okay. I'm the other guy. Just say I'm the other guy. It's fine. There's Dr. Mike, and then there's the other guy. Okay.
Okay. No, he's along with this working in education, he's been 25 years in professional religious work. In both areas, he was actively training, speaking, counseling, crisis counseling, leader, and leadership development. He's traveled around the world to places including Israel, Haiti, Central Mexico. He's the father of 5 grown children. Now, I'm going to call you West Coast Mike.
That's fine.
Dr. Mike, I'm going to call East Coast Mike.
East Coast Mike. That's the way we go. East Coast and West Coast.
That's the easiest. Yeah.
So, West Coast. In the little monologue that you just gave, you were talking about the emotions as opposed to the facts. But you know, here's where we get into a problem. The people who are doing the nightly news and the FDA, CDC, World Health Organization and everything, they don't know what they're talking about. And they're putting out information one night, and a little bit later, they put out just the opposite. We were listening to the CDC, which said a month ago that everybody should be tested, especially if you have been not doing the 6-foot social distancing, especially if you haven't been wearing a mask. And now, just within the last 2 days, they say, whoops, we've changed our mind. If you're not sick, if you don't have symptoms, you don't need to test. Now, if you've got people who are supposed to be knowing the facts and they are putting out stuff that doesn't make any sense because they changed their position back and forth, then you're not starting from a very good point with respect to trying to answer questions. And when you have emotions into it, like fear or anger or other things, then it's going to make this whole process ridiculous. What do you all think?
Well, I'll jump in on that one because we've had a lot of, Mike and I have had a lot of discussion in regards to this. Because we work together all the time, excuse my chair. I think one of the things that we have a hard time accepting in our culture is that if you think back, Mike and I are old enough to think back a few years about before the day of social media and the day before, even the day before 24/7 headline news, and the dynamic that happened within a lot of those kinds of things back in those days. And I'm not saying we harken back to the good old days at all. I don't feel that way at all. But to understand a dynamic that has changed exponentially in how we disseminate information. Part of the issue that I see that is a very real issue, I have people in my family that are medical people, and they're on the front lines doing these kinds of things, you know, helping folks and so on and so on. I also have people in law enforcement trying to deal with that side of life, which is very interesting. But what I really believe has happened in the sense of which we are not doing we're doing a really lousy job of understanding science. Yes. And people who are in the world of science are also not doing us any favors by continually doing their 15 minutes of fame when they really don't know what they're talking about. Everybody's got opinion, and an opinion people see as fact. And if you watch closely, particularly with certain individuals that I have watched, they have said things that have really left it open for there to be change. The problem is the media and the people in the country always want some kind of absolute answer to fix this right now. And this whole thing has been so fluid because they don't know, and they don't know how to change that. So let me give you an example. Let's go back a few years. If you want to talk about an incredibly destructive time, was back in the 80s, which is about 1986. And a lot of people don't maybe remember this, but if you remember when AIDS entered our country, the CDC came out in that time frame and they said, oh, wow, AIDS came from Haiti. And that's how it got transmitted into the U.S. Haiti was a country that has at that time and still is, you know, the poorest in the Western Hemisphere. And at that time, you know, 80 plus percent illiteracy rate. They have no national currency. They're dependent upon American dollars being their currency and other foreign currencies. It was the port of call for all kinds of tourism. And when the CDC came out with that, within 6 weeks, Haiti totally dried up financially, collapsed their economy. And right after that is when they had the coup and got rid of Baby Doc at that point, and their country went into a total tailspin. It wasn't more than, 2 months later, the CDC came out and said, oops, sorry, we really didn't get that right. It really came from Africa to us, and then we actually are the ones that took it down to Haiti. Well, what happened at that point is exactly the same thing that we're struggling with right now, is that the science wasn't solid. We didn't have enough experience. You had people who were trying to fill in the holes because they were being pressured to do that instead of hedging, if you will, hedging their bets and giving people options here, which we don't want to do. We want concrete things to tell us right now so we can all go on with our lives. That is not how these kinds of things worked with science. Why people are not willing to stand up, I mean, there are some of those guys that are willing to say that, and they say it, but they don't end up in the major news bites that happen out there because that's not what the American people want to hear. And so consequently, there's a real misunderstanding of how this actually works. If you are in the world of infectious diseases, then you understand that this is a total, I mean, you're trying very, very hard to make things okay, but it is a changing, you know, it's a changing dynamic. So now what are we being faced with? Now we're being faced with the fact that it's coming out that people are getting reinfected with COVID. And that was never in the cards in January, right? But why is that? Well, because now we have data, we have longevity, we also have experience, and all those things that are important to really get empirical information to be able to make good decisions about how to deal with this. that's the when that kind of thing, which I believe happens in our culture, is that we get political about this, then we got a problem, because we move from real fact-based data kinds of things and we move into emotion, because that's what happens in those venues. I don't know what you think, Michael.
Okay, guys. Let's get down to something that the people can take away from this interview. We know that there's a problem with masks. We know that it's an emotional problem. People are getting mad. They're getting angry. What can you suggest based on your research, based on your book, based on your experience, that you could tell my listeners about when they come up to somebody at Walmart and they're in their face about putting on a mask? What should they do about that? You know, they don't need to get killed because they don't have a mask on.
One of the things that I do, and I've done for decades now, is I ask for permission to address an issue prior to addressing the issue. When a person is accosted, they may be wearing a mask and someone says, "You're a sheep. You're just doing that because you're scared to death of what the government's going to do to you." They may not be wearing a mask. "Why aren't you wearing a mask? You're infecting everybody in the world." So it's on both sides. There's anger on both sides. A good initial question that a person can ask is, "You seem very angry about this right now. Can I talk to you about that?" And then it, number one, interrupts the flow of the energy going on in the demand, but it allows the person some permission or a refusal of permission to discuss their anger about the topic. It's a surprisingly simple technique. It works with children. It works with adults. It works with people in authority. Doesn't matter what the situation is. When you stop the flow of the moment and say, "May I speak with you about how angry you are right now?" A person can then say, "No, you can't." You say, "I'm good with that," and you walk away. Or, "Well, yes, I really am angry," and they go into a blithering accusation set and say, wait, "I want to talk to you about how angry you are. Can I talk to you about your anger?" And it seems like that's insane to ask an angry person, "Can we talk about your anger?" Not the issue yet. Can we talk about the anger? And when they do that, my experience is they'll calm down. The anger steps down the ladder to, "I'm frustrated. I'm annoyed. This really bothers me." Now they've gone from rage backwards down the scale, and you can say, "Why is this making you so angry? What is it about a mask or not a mask that is triggering this response for you?" And if you can create a conversation about the anger instead of the issue, you can get somewhere.
Now,
so Mike, you say that to somebody, sounds like a very good psychological method of diffusing their anger and everything, and they say, "Yes, I'm angry. I don't have any money to buy groceries. I can't get out of my house. I can't meet people. I can't do any of the things that I've done my entire life. Yes, I'm angry." And then when they say that, which is the truth of the matter, they're not so angry about the mask. They're angry about things that aren't going their way and haven't been since early part of the year, then what do you say?
You actually put into words what I was thinking as you said that. I've had conversations like this in stores and on the sidewalk. So when people say, "Well, you know, I can't do what I want and I'm locked in my house and I don't have money to do anything," say, "So your anger is not about whether I'm wearing a mask or not. Your anger is about the loss of your privileges and the safety of your future. Am I reading that right?" And yes or no. Then they say, "Yeah, I'm like totally lost it about this." And they say, "Let me tell you, I'm on your side." And if you create a joining, because the real issue now is clearly not the mask or the absence of a mask, It's loaded from something else going on in their life. Mm-hmm. And if you're wearing a mask or not wearing a mask, irrelevant. If you say, I'm on your side in this, I have a mask on for reasons that I understand, you're not wearing one or vice versa. But what I want you to know is I am as frustrated as you are about those exact same things. And I have had people just melt because now I'm an ally and I've identified your rage is also in me. Can we go together on this? And the situation diffuses. It's not magic. It's understanding the way people's emotions work and why they're so fired up at that particular moment. But as you said, if it's about something else, then let's go to the something else and the mask issue is left behind.
Okay, so finishing up kind of to find out where we can find information on both of you, because we are having to close out very soon. We only have a couple minutes left. Where can we find information on Dr. Mike and then Michael?
The book is on Amazon. We have ebook, an order printed book, and an audio book at our website, Why Do People Act That Way, or on Facebook, Why Do People Act That Way, or just type the letters of the initials of the words, WDPATW. You'll find it. We're there. We deal with questions all the time. We schedule speaking engagements. All of that stuff is available either on Facebook or on our website.
That would be it. Yep.
All right. All right. Well, fantastic. When finish up, close up, we got about a minute left.
Okay. Guys, thank you so much for being on the program. And that was some good advice there at the end that could cost you a lot of money to find out that psychological advice. I totally agree with it. So I wanted to tell y'all my mission or purpose in life is to spread the message that there is a cure for all addictive behaviors. This is a spiritual cure, and the treatment program is profiled in my book, Freedom from Addiction 3. It's available on Amazon and wherever books are sold. If you meet three simple criteria, you will get well. I have two free resources where you can start your journey. The first is to follow this link to my podcast, and that's www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn.com. Spell Libsyn, L-I-B as in boy, S-Y-N. And then you can also go over to my website, which is www.revwynhendersonmd.com. And guys, thank you so much for trying to shed some light on this problem of getting mad over mask. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, guys, for stopping by.
Thank you.
All right, guys. That was the Daily Show simulcasted with Freedom Prediction. Take care, everyone.
All right. Turn the line.